Hey, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and I'm your old buddy, Pastor Jim. So let me ask you straight. What if the kingdom of God has already slipped into your life so small you almost missed it? Jesus said it looks like a speck of seed, like a pinch of yeast buried in dough. Not fireworks, not headlines, just something alive, hidden, stubborn enough to outlast empires. That's what we're after today. We're walking that dusty path where farmers drop specks in the soil, and we're standing in the kitchen where a woman tucks yesterday's miracle into tomorrow's bread. And if you listen close, you just might find the holy hiding in your own backyard. And hey, if this rings true, would you help me out? Like, share, subscribe. Not for me, for the porch. Every click is one more chair for a weary soul who thought God had skipped over their street. I'll see you on the other side.
But most importantly, Wayne, all right, there it is. So, two parables tonight. We've been looking at the parables, and we're just going to keep doing parables until we run out of parables. So, two parables tonight. What's interesting, we're going to read both of these parables because we're going to read them from all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're in all three. But ironically, before you start sweating, the longest passage that tells these two parables is only four verses long. So I hope when you get to the end of the study, you'll see why I said that its shortness is ironic. So let's begin where we always begin, by setting the scene in our minds, so we could fully envelop and understand what this might have felt like, smelled like, looked like. So it's late afternoon in Galilee. The color of the hills slide from gold to honey to shadow. The air is heavy with that baked earth smell you only get after a long day of sun on the stones. Cicadas tune up like a choir with only one note. You walk the footpath between the houses, and every step shakes dust into a little cloud around your ankles. A small garden sits inside of a ring of field stones, some onions, a few cucurbits curling like question marks, barley stalks bowing as if praying. There's a man crouched low, dirty at the knees. He's pinching something between finger and thumb. It's smaller than a freckle. It's lighter than a breath. He squints, smiles the way farmers smile when they know a thing you don't, and tucks that speck down into the living soil. He doesn't raise his voice. He doesn't need to. The ground hears him just fine. I'm going to pause in my story. Cucurbits are the small decorative pumpkins that aren't really pumpkins. They're called cucurbits. Continuing. The village is close enough to smell tonight's breath. Inside one of those stone houses, the light is different. Window, gold. Hearth, soft. A rustic set of hands that know their way around flour. A woman wipes a line of white across her apron with the back of her wrist. She has a clay jar holding a piece of yesterday's miracle. The living leaven her mother had kept, and her mother before her. She pinches off just a bit, hides it in the fresh flour. The room goes quiet except for the rhythm of her kneading. Out the door, a boy chases birds and laughs. Up the slope, olive trees hold their own wind. Somewhere in this ordinary, untelevised life, the kingdom of God has already started. Jesus is on the path between the garden plot and the oven glow. He's not looking for a podium. He's looking for your attention. He speaks like a man who has noticed the holy hiding in plain sight. And if you let him, he will place it in your hands. Church, still your hands and steady your hearts. Set your feet on the dust of this page. Attend to the reading, not as a headline, but as bread. We don't skim the word, we eat it. Let Listen for that voice that said, let there be and there was. Let the scriptures speak. Beginning Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now from the gospel account, according to John Mark, chapter 4, verses 30, 31, and 32. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all of the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its shade. Now the long one, Luke 18 through 21. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It is a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. The birds of the air made nests in its branches. Again, he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. This is the word of the Lord. Seed for soil, leaven for dough, life for the weary. Thanks be to God. And now with dust still on our feet, the smell of bread in our clothes, let us walk inside the story until it rises in us. Walk back with me to the man by the field stones. He doesn't make a speech about vision or strategy. He doesn't hang a banner. He simply plants. The word Jesus uses calls it a grain, a mite of a thing. What you hold in your hand is not impressive. It is alive. Brassica nigra. Brassica nigra. The black mustard that Galileans knew. And it could shoot up taller than a tall man. An unruly shrub turning treeish. When planted in the right soil, it would be the largest of all the garden plants, the kind of thing you planted once and then you fought off in places you never meant it to grow. Mustard is not a cedar. It is a holy nuisance, a volunteer that you can't quite keep down. Jesus doesn't say that it just grows. He says it becomes a tree. And when he says that, the prophets of Hebrew scripture hum in the background. In Ezekiel's words, God plants a sprig and grows a noble cedar where birds nest. In Daniel's vision, an empire is a tree with branches for the nations. Jesus takes the image down from palaces and he plants it in our backyard. Not the imperial cedar, but back garden mustard. Not Senate shade, but porch shade. Not the shadow of Rome, but the shared shelter of mercy. And then those birds, the one you chase off your barley, the ones he said the sower fed by accident earlier, we talked about the seed and the sower, the seed that fell on the path, Jesus says the kingdom makes room for them as well. This image isn't careful. It's cautious. Because the kingdom grows in such a way that those you'd prefer to keep moving along can stay and build. The scandal of grace is not that God tolerates the wrong kind of birds. It's that he feeds them. He gives them a place to raise their young. If you're standing in that yard with your arms folded, think about order and neat rows. The story can rub you a little raw. Mustard is not orderly in its growing. Mustard laughs at your rows and lines. It finds cracks in your plan, the way grace finds those cracks in your heart, pushes up, makes shade, invites guests, and dares you to call it a weed. Now, step inside the house. The oven breathes like a tame fire. On the table, three measures. Now, that word in Greek, three measures of flour, that word is sata. Sata. And three measures, or sata, of flour is an outrageous amount. It's something akin to full of like a bushel basket. It's enough to feed more than just your household. This is much more bread than one family needs. This is bread for neighbors. A woman reaches for yesterday's leaven. Now let me just pause here real quick, because I'm not sure. I just want to make sure. When I use the word leaven, I'm talking about some agent that causes flour to rise, right? All yeast are leaven, but not all leaven are yeast. There are different leavening agents other than yeast. But if you were kind of curious about what are you talking about when you use the word leaven, think yeast. How does yeast with some warm water and some flour work? That's the idea, okay? In fact, she hides the leaven in the flour. The Greek word there, it means to conceal or to tuck away. She works it with her whole body. There's no holy speech to accompany it, no applause, no metrics, just the work and then the waiting. If you've ever baked with a starter, you know the first rule. Don't rush the rise, because hurry ruins the crust. Holiness is patient. Most of the time in Scripture, though, leaven is a warning. Clear your house before Passover, before the Pharisees' leaven. Jesus knows that language, the dangers of leaven, and Jesus turns it into his purposes. He's not afraid of the metaphor's shadow, because he wants to show you that the kingdom is holy enough to step into what others might usually consider to be a symbol for corruption and turn that meaning on its head. Holiness in Jesus is not a fragile quarantine. It is a robust contagion of life. The life, the spirit, it moves forward in that lump. Spirit works from within. Spirit does not ask permission, just keeps going until all of that flour is leavened. If you look up from the dough, see the woman's forearms dusted white, sinew strong from years of kneading bread. Jesus places her at the center of this parable. The kingdom's revolution includes women at the table. Their work, not a footnote, but a sacrament. Spirit delights in driving history through hands that nobody counted on. And let the record show that while the men argued with rabbis, the women were busy feeding the village. Now, put these two stories side by side, like two loaves cooling on the same board. Mustard seed is the kingdom outside you, planted out there in the wide world, growing up, turning into a visible shelter. You can point to it. There, branches, there, shade, there, nests. It's public. It's hospitable. and it is stubbornly alive. The leaven, the yeast, the leaven is the kingdom inside you. Tucked in here where nobody can applaud it, working through your life until your whole world is affected. You can't point to the show because there isn't one. But give it time and you can taste it. It's quiet, transformative, and equally stubborn. The kingdom of God is both. It builds shade for the world and raises the loaf of life. It welcomes birds and changes bread. For those who keep score, this is the gospel's 1-2 punch. Grace first, a given seed, a gifted starter. Then transformation, branches, nests, dough rising. This order matters. Mercy comes before improvement. We are not saved by our shade or by our crust. We are rescued and then we grow. Jesus points to the smallest and to the all. He knows how our bodies react to small beginnings. We hate them. We think smallness is a sign that God somehow forgot our zip code. Jesus blesses the speck. He blesses the very thing you can lose between your finger and your thumb. He blesses that practice nobody retweets. The prayer nobody hears. The apology you make driving across town. He blesses the seed and the starter. But he also speaks the word that makes planters nervous. Until it is all leavened. That's kitchen eschatology. Grace isn't just content to lift up one corner of your life like a dolly. The starter aims for every part of the loaf. Habits and grudges, schedules and bank accounts, the way you talk about your enemies, the way you answer a child, the names you call yourself in the mirror, and the others you call other people under your breath. Spirit doesn't do partials. The Spirit is after the all. Seed plus what looks like a yard full of shade, and it doesn't ask for the credentials of the branch. Seed plus all tastes like bread carrying life through every single slice, not just the Sabbath heel. Any gospel that leaves some rooms in your house unlived in isn't finished working yet. And remember at the beginning, the boy chasing the birds? He's back. He's laughing because the very birds he rooted from the barley are now building homes in the branches his father never planned to grow. The kingdom's hospitality is not tidy. It is not an HOH with bylaws. It is a wilderness with a spine, welcome, and change. The birds don't get to keep pecking seed from the path forever. There is a tree now. They learn another way to live. Shade reshapes appetites. Mercy re-educates souls. The same grace that makes room also makes anew. It's why you can bless the birds while still teaching your children not to throw rocks at them. Holiness with hospitality, hospitality with wholeness. That is a kingdom pair. In prophetic dreams, birds and branches signal nations. Backyard parables, birds become neighbors. Rome and Samaria, and the tax man and the widow, and the fisherman and the Pharisee who finally simply ran out of breath. When Jesus talks like this, you can hear the porch creak under extra chairs being added. Religious people who major in separation, hear leaven and reach for broom. Jesus reaches for a jar because his holiness is not fragile. In fact, it's ferocious in its gentleness. It walks right into uncleanliness and breathes life into it again. That's why he eats at the wrong tables and touches the wrong folks, lets the wrong woman pour perfume on his feet. He's not in danger. Death is. In the parable, the leaven goes where the flour is the thickest. If you're the sort of person who thinks a clean room is a holy room, Jesus will frustrate your plans by moving toward the mess. And if you're a mess, take courage because he's moving towards you. He intends to hide grace in the lump until your whole life is alive with him. It will not look dramatic every day. Some mornings it will look like keeping your word and doing your job, telling the truth when lying would be cheaper. Some nights it will look like washing dishes, sitting in silence, praying a psalm when your mouth wants salt. That too is a resurrection. The man in the garden won't pull his seat up to check on it. The woman in the kitchen won't crank the oven hotter to cheat the rise. Farmers and bakers have the same creed. Trust time to God. The kingdom's calendar is not a corporate sprint. It's a season of faithfulness. We live between sowing and shade, between tucking and tasting. In that in-between, impatient people start inventing fireworks. And Jesus keeps pointing to the dirt and the dough. Spirit is not in a hurry because the Spirit is in charge. Spirit's not late because Spirit's eternal. Spirit doesn't miss a window of opportunity. The Spirit makes one. Your job is to keep your hands on the work you're actually given. Plant, water, knead, wait, tend, welcome. Nothing on television can outgrow a seed. Nothing on the internet can outlast bread. Again, three measures of flour is a comical image if you are counting portions. That's 20 dry gallons worth. It's too much. It's overdoing it. It's Jesus. He keeps turning small beginnings into unnecessary feasts. He doesn't raise up a pious soul to live alone with spiritual victories. He makes enough bread for the whole cul-de-sac. Kingdom leaven refuses to stay private. When the Spirit finishes working in a life, neighbors eat. That's why the woman's kitchen is a part of this parable. Bread is what you break. Hospitality is not a metaphor here. It's a table. If your gospel never arrives at a table where other people eat, it might be a brand, but it's not the kingdom. Now, transpose this scene to Cushing, Drumright, Yale, Stillwater, right? The path is a church hallway with scuffed baseboards. The garden is a pantry shelf with canned corn stacked like little citadels. The woman with flour on her sleeves is Jan in the fellowship kitchen. Gigi stirring something that will feed a family that had only asked for prayer. That leaven isn't celebrity, it's consistency. The seed isn't spectacle, it's presence. Stand at the edge of your own yard, your schedule, your budget, your chorus of excuses, and you feel small. Good. Jesus blesses small. He builds kingdoms out of almost nothings. Like the sigh of a tired man who decides not to be cruel tonight. Like the quiet resolve of a woman who calls the lonely anyway. Like a pastor who chooses to tell the truth and hold the porch instead of selling some ladder to the sky. Out in town, these birds haven't touched a branch in years. They're tables without bread. There's a jar of starter in your refrigerator called grace, and it does not belong to you. Give it some flour. Hide it in the parts of your life that still taste like death. Wait long enough to let it work, and then share what rises. And before we leave, don't miss the quiet Christology here. In this parable, he's not only the teacher, he is the seed, buried small, rising into a shelter big enough for the whole world. He is the leaven, hidden in the tomb, working through the whole human loaf until death itself is different. The cross is the seed at its smallest. Easter morning is the tree at its wildest. And Pentecost is the leaven racing through the dough. And the church at her best is a backyard full of shade and a table full of bread that never runs out because we never quit sharing. If you're tempted to measure the kingdom by how loud it is, look again. Jesus did not come with a PR team. He came with a story that still keeps ringing true. One backyard at a time, one oven at a time, one porch at a time, one human heart at a time, until the birds stop circling and start nesting. And the bread comes out singing when you tap on the bottom of that loaf. Religious folks who value tidy branches and bland bread will always want to reverse that order. Change first, then welcome. Jesus insists welcome first, then change where it actually lasts. Mustard seed gives shade before it's pruned. Leaven joins the flour before it lifts it. Grace is the doorway. Holiness is the room you learn to live in. And if we guard the room and barricade the door, the house will stay empty. If we open the door and forget the room, the house will become chaos. Jesus is better than both. He opens and he furnishes. He welcomes and he works. So when the birds you didn't plan on show up, don't panic. Make room for them. You can bless and teach at the same time. You can feed and repent at the same time. The kingdom is a wide porch with a carpenter inside. The spirit is the wind the birds ride, the breath in the dough, the late night whisper that reminds you why you began. Spirit is the quiet courage to plant again after a season of nothing, patience to keep your hands off the oven knob when all you want to do is hurry. Spirit is the strength to hold shade for someone who's not learned your song yet. Smile at the sink, the prayer in the car, the mercy that smells like wildfire and still somehow tastes like bread. When you hear folks say they don't feel the Spirit, this is what they're waiting on. Lightning. Jesus taught us to look for leaven. He taught us to watch for seed. The Spirit is not always in the storm. Spirit is often the rise you only notice when you go to punch the dough down and find it alive. All right, church, let's say this plain. Some of us are waiting for a moment we can brag about. God is handing us a handful of seed in a jar, and a jar of starter, and a neighborhood full of birds. This week, the kingdom will look small and hidden. Will look like making shade for somebody who never found a branch with their name on it. It will look like tucking grace into the places of your life that have been dense and dry for years. It will look like waiting while the Spirit does what only God can do. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not rush the rise. Tend to what you have been given. The King has planted himself in your soil. Spirit has hidden herself in your dough. Father is already setting the table. So, this week, plant one speck of mercy where it can take root. Visibly enough where it could take and cast shade. Ordinary enough to be overlooked by someone who isn't thirsty. High grace in one practice you'll keep. Quiet, regular, stubborn. And let it work until all is leavened. And when the birds you didn't expect show up, make room. Add a chair. Offer bread. Trust that welcome is not a compromise. It is the kingdom. When impatience tempts you, remember the farmer and remember the baker. Resurrection works on a clock that you do not control. And when in your own backyard you see that first branch big enough for a nest, when in your own kitchen you smell bread that wasn't possible before, lift your head and bless the Lord. Do not ask you to manufacture a miracle, only to plant and knead and wait and share. Take heart, beloved. Seed is already in the soil. The leaven already in the lump. The shade is already stretching. Loaf is already rising. And the ones who thought God forgot their address, you're going to find a place to rest their tired wings. A table where their names are not a problem, but a guest list to celebrate. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Friends, here's the scandal. The kingdom doesn't wait on your resume, your plans, or your polish. It shows up small, like a mustard seed tucked in the dirt, like leaven vanishing in flour. And then it goes to work until everything changes. That's how God moves, quiet enough to be overlooked, relentless enough to outlast everything you fear. You and I want quick fixes, big moments, proof on the spot, but the farmer doesn't dig up his seed to check on it. The baker doesn't crank the oven to rush the rise. Holiness has its own clock. Time belongs to God. So here's your word. Don't despise the small beginnings. Don't curse hidden grace. What looks tiny is already alive. What looks buried is already rising. And the very birds you once shooed away, the kingdom will hand them a branch in your backyard. Mercy makes room. Shade teaches a new song. So plant mercy this week. Hide grace in the places you thought were too far gone. Make room when the wrong sort of birds show up, and trust that what God started, He intends to finish. And if this spoke to you, don't keep it. Like it, share it, subscribe. Every time you do, the soul porch grows a little wider. The table grows a little longer. Someone else gets to hear that God had not forgotten their address. Until next week, friend, be blessed.